Friends, it is so good to be with you this morning. And if you have not been with us for the past 4 weeks, we were on week 5 of a 5-week series that we are calling Thrive. It is part of our conference initiative and focus of what it means to be thriving congregations within the Texas Annual Conference and how we as individual churches live out these markers of thrive. And you can see them on the screen. We began with clarity, and then we went to witness and abundance and kinship. And so today is?
Joy.
Well, let's try that again. Today is?
Joy.
Hey, look, you had a little bit of joy. That was great. Excellent. I also need to just make a little confession here that, how many of you are fans of baseball? I'm a fan of baseball. Baseball season is right around the corner. And I have to make a confession. Usually the person who bats in the fourth place is the cleanup hitter. And I feel like today I'm the cleanup hitter in this series. And usually the cleanup hitter can do two things. One of them is good. And so we'll hope that today's sermon and our words fill this space and pull us into the call that God has for us. So what does it mean for us to be joyful? What is joy anyway? Well, if we were simply to go to the dictionary, to Merriam-Webster, we would find out that joy is both a noun and a verb. Now, I know for some of you, you're thinking, which one's which? I've learned those things so long ago. So just as a quick refresher, remember, a noun is a person, place, thing, or idea, and the verb is the action. It is what you do. So joy is both a noun and a verb. It is both a state of being and a way of being. Did you hear that?
Amen.
Amen. Thank you. It's both a state of being and a way of being. So not only can I feel and experience joy in the moment, but my life can express joy to others, because I have come to experience joy, right? It's hard for us to express things that we have never experienced. Amen?
Amen.
And sometimes we don't know what a situation or something brings to us until we've been in the midst of that situation. And for the past 4 weeks, we have been walking through this book of Nehemiah, which is really a part of two books that's been split up, Ezra and Nehemiah. It's one book, but we've been reading the Nehemiah part of the story. And we've heard the story about how Nehemiah was called by God to do God's work at restoring the walls around Jerusalem so God's people would have a safe place to gather. And at the same time, there was a man of God, Ezra, who was also called by God to go back to Jerusalem to bring the word of God back to God's people so that they could experience God's safety and security through the word and through the safety and the security of the walls that had been rebuilt around the city. You see, friends, joy is a both and for us. It is not an either or. We want to think about life sometimes in either ors, don't we? Rather than both and. But we focus today on joy and how joy comes about. In the first week, we talked about clarity and what it means for us to have clarity of our call in our life and what God is doing and what God is up to and what that means for me. And that once we have clarity about who I am and what God is calling me to do, I can go into the world and I can witness to that. Amen? Because without clarity, I ain't got no witness. And once I begin to witness about the things that God has called me to do and witness to the promises of God in the world, I begin to see the world differently. I begin to notice the abundance of God in the world and the abundance of what God has already provided. See, clarity provides us the ability to go and to witness. When we begin to witness, we begin to see God's abundance more fully. And when we begin to see God's abundance more fully, we begin to understand what kinship means. And when all of those things come together, friends, we can experience joy. You see, joy is not separate from all of those, but it is connected to all of those in some way. Now, in our passage that you heard Pastor Tabitha read so eloquently, and it was long, we should give her our claps for that. that Ezra says in chapter 8, verse 10, "For the joy of the Lord is your strength." He is reminding these gathered people that it is the joy of the Lord that gives us strength. Strength for what? Strength to rebuild a wall, yes? Strength to worship together in community, yes? Strength to stand up for our faith and to profess our faith and witness to it publicly, yes? Strength to celebrate our kinship with one another, even though we might have been separated for a long time, yes? And strength to celebrate all that God has done, all that God is doing, and all that God will continue to do in and through us and beyond us. Amen? The joy of the Lord is our strength. And this word here, joy, in the Hebrew is hedva, and it means joy or gladness or rejoicing. And see, in this passage, he says the joy of the Lord. So God's joy, gladness, and rejoicing is our strength. So how does God get to joy? My friends, I think it's when we do these other things. When we do the things that God has called us to do, when we become the people that God has called us to be, when we live the way that God has asked us to live, I think that brings God joy. And when that is happening, we can live in that strength of God's joy for ourselves. And more than that, it says the joy of the Lord is our strength. Everybody say, ma'oz. I'll say it again, ma'oz. That means strength in Hebrew. You learned something today. Good job. But it is more than just this idea of physical strength. You see, sometimes words that are not English have way deeper meanings than we understand. And this idea in the Hebrew language means a place or a means of safety, a place or a means of protection, a place or a means of refuge, a place or a means as a stronghold. Did you hear all of that? Safety, protection, refuge, stronghold, safe harbor. This is what strength in the Lord looks like. When we get our strength from the joy of the Lord, we will find safety, protection, refuge, a stronghold, and safe harbor. Well, what does all that mean? I think it means exactly what it says it means. When we come together as God's people, celebrating what God has done in the past, not living in the past, but celebrating what God has done and realizing that the present might not be as perfect as we want it, but recognizing that God has called us here for this place and this time to do something new with these people that are around us, then we can begin to experience the protection and the safety God has offered to us. We are in a season of transition, and sometimes transition feels unsafe. Transitions feel a little scary or a little tense. Friends, next week we will have more folks joining us in worship than we have had in a while, and I am excited. To say I am overjoyed would be an understatement. That's where you're supposed to laugh. I am really excited for what God is up to because I believe the future for us as the First Methodist Church in Houston is so bright that we can't even fully understand it. But we can't live into our full potential until we are all together. Just like the people in the books of Ezra and Nehemiah, they needed to return in order to become the people that God had called them to be, to do the thing that God was calling them to do, so that they might live out their lives in the joy of the Lord, that they might find strength in the joy of the Lord, and so that they might thrive together and in the presence of God. This passage and this kind of progression of clarity, witness, abundance, kinship, and joy reminds me of a passage that Paul writes in Romans chapter 5. verses 3 through 6, Paul writes, "We can rejoice when we run into troubles and trials, for they know they help us to develop endurance. Endurance develops strength of character. Character strengthens our confident hope of salvation, and this hope of salvation will not disappoint, for we know how dearly God loves us, because he gave us the Holy Spirit to fill our hearts with his love. When we were utterly hopeless, Christ came at just the right time and died for us as sinners." Friends, God has a plan. God has a purpose. And God has provided for us all that we need in order to do what God is calling us to do. I have to also confess that I'm surprised I did not cry after the first two hymns we sang today. The Hymn of Promise is one of my favorite songs of all time. And almost every time I sing it, I weep, and I don't know why, other than the words are so powerful, that God is up to something that we cannot see, and it is up to something that happens in butterflies and in apples and in trees and in the grass and in the world around us, and God is at work in all of those places. And if God is at work in all of those places, God must be at work in my life. Amen? And I think that's why I weep, because I realize just how big and powerful and awesome God is, that if God is doing those things in those places to make miracles happen, then God is working in my life, even if I can't see it or feel it right at the moment. And it makes me remember that I am important and I am called for a purpose. And then the last song we sang, "Joyful, joyful, we adore thee. God of glory, Lord of love, hearts unfold like flowers before thee, opening to the sun above." These songs remind us about the goodness of God, which is all around us, that is always working for our goodness, even in the midst of what seems like difficult times or change. The Israelites in our story had been dispersed from their home place. Some had been left behind and some had been taken away. But God had called them all back together again because he knew that when they came back together, they were stronger and mightier than they could ever be apart. And friends, God is doing that in our lives at this moment. He is reuniting this body for what is next. Now, I know what you want to say here is, "Pastor, what's next?" I don't know. God has not told me exactly what is next. But if we read the text, shall we read the text? I can pretty much guess what's going to happen when we come together. Did you catch it? I hope you did. It was really powerful. When everyone got together, the community marched around their building, praying, singing, musical instruments. And they went in two groups around the entirety of the city until they reached the temple, where they continued to praise and give God thanks. Let's hear the end of that passage again. "They offered great sacrifices that day and rejoiced, for God had made them rejoice with great joy." And then it says, "The women and the children also rejoiced." Well, duh, they were all together. Come on. We knew everyone was rejoicing. And it was so joyful, they were filled with so much joy and praise that day for what God had done, for what God was doing, and for what God would do, that the joy of Jerusalem, say the joy of Jerusalem, was heard far away. Far away, friends. Not just in their space or in their corner or in the tiny part of town, but far away. And that is what God is doing with us. as we move through this process together, as we continue to thrive as a congregation, as we gain clarity, as we gain a witness to the world and we understand God's abundance for us, as we look around the kinship that God has given us, and as we live into the joy that God has prepared for us, we too will begin to sing and to celebrate, and our joy will be heard from far away. So far that people will wonder, what is happening at First Methodist? What is God up to at that church? Perhaps I should go and see. Perhaps I should experience that for myself. Because I hear their joy from far away. Our joy comes from God, so that we might worship with thanksgiving and be renewed, so that our joy overflows to all around us and everyone can hear and see and feel it. But are we living in God's joy? Or are we being weighed down by worry and conflict and grief? Friends, we need to set those things down. And we need to celebrate. Celebrate that God is with us in this place, that God has called us to this space, and that God has work for us to do. Amen. God, we give you thanks and praise for the ways in which you call out to us this day and each day. We ask that you would pour out your Spirit upon us, that we might continue to live into your joy and find strength within you to be the people, once again, who celebrate you with all of our lives. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.